Today we'd like to see the title of the Lord, our righteousness, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 40. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, verse 1, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2. In verse 20, the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has ejected and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 3, in verse 36, and the oracle of the Lord we shall mention no more, for everyone's word will be his oracle, for you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. What does it mean, and how can we learn from here? In the last time, Jeremiah chapter 22:30, this says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Here is a prophecy about none of Coniah descendants to sit on the throne of David. Coniah, through David and Solomon, was listed on genealogy of Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, while Coniah was not listed on genealogy of Mary, the biological mother of Jesus, through David and Nathan. So Jesus doesn't sit on the throne of David through Coniah. Thus, this prophecy was fulfilled without one jot or one tittle error. Joshua, the 15th king, was good in the sight of the Lord from 640 up to 69 before Christ, but was killed at Megiddo battle by Egypt. Shalom, Jehoaz, the 16th king, was evil in the sight of the Lord during 30 months in 609 before Christ, carried the captive and replaced with Jehoiakim by Egypt. Jehoiakim, or Eliakim, the 17th king, reigned from 609 to 597 before Christ, but he betrayed Babylon, who carried him captive. And his son Coniah reigned in his stead during 3 months in 597 before Christ. He was evil in the sight of the Lord, carried captive and replaced with Zedekiah by the Babylon, the last 18th king. Only Coniah was Josiah's grandson, and the other three kings were his sons. Verse 1, question 1. Woe to the shepherds or pastors who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Pastors or shepherds are responsible to shepherd of his sheep or his pasture owed to the Lord. Every leader in the church should realize to be entrusted to feed his sheep by the Lord. Masters, teachers, or pastors have a higher standard of the duty to take of his sheep owed to the Lord. As James said that, let not many of you become teachers or masters, because we may easily stumble in the word. The Lord is the possessor of the flock purchased with his blood, while masters, teachers, pastors, or leaders are managers. The latter should manage his flock properly, not fleece the flock as if they possessed the sheep. Here God made an indictment against this king who scattered the sheep, deprived the sheep over his pasture, and destroyed them. Ministers at CCH are not interested in his sheep's possession, but in his sheep to be presented in the purity to the Lord. That's a cross-reference right there. Therefore, thus said God, the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil over your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds. They shall be fruitful and increase. Jeremiah prophesied the people being taken as a captive to Babylon to serve there as a slave. But it is not going to end in Babylon. The Lord is promising that He is going to restore them from their captivity. After 2,000 years of being scattered to the world, God is gathering people back into the land again. The chief shepherd is soon going to appear in his glory on Zion. Verse 4, I will set up shepherds of them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall be lacking, says the Lord. The lack of good shepherds or evil shepherds did not provide the people to dwell securely. The Lord will shut up his instruments or a good shepherds of them. For example, some reigning saints on his ruling millennial kingdom. That cross-reference Revelation 24. Verse 5, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and exact judgment and righteousness in the earth. God will raise up the righteous branch, the seed of David, the stem of Jesse. The branch of the Messiah is coming very soon to rebuild the temple, according to Zechariah's prophecy. In Jeremiah 22:30, Supra, Jesus came from Virgin Mary, was a descendant through David's son Nathan, who was a brother to Solomon, to the Konya, whose descendants would be cut off on the throne of David. Cross-reference right there, verse 6. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name, by which he will be called the Lord of Righteousness. Then the Lord will save Judah, make Israel dwell safely. The name of God is Yahweh, or Jehovah, Latinization, which literally means I am. Many compound names of God are used here. The Lord of Righteousness, called as Yahweh, Jidakan, because in the millennial kingdom, our Lord reigns righteously. The Lord is our help. The Lord is our healer. Or the Lord is our peace, called as Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is our salvation, called as Yahweh Shua, or Yeshua, called as Joshua by Hebrew and English, or Jesus by Greek and English. The mission of Christ was that of salvation, and so his name implies his mission. Yahweh has become our salvation through Jesus Christ. So we are saved because of our faith in Jesus Christ. He has brought us salvation from our sin, the consequences of our sin. Abraham's belief in the Lord's promise of innumerable descendants through his seed was accounted for righteousness to him. So it was Abraham's faith in Jesus Christ, and God accounted Abraham righteousness because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Now you and I, or all believers, have a righteous standing before God because of our faith in Jesus Christ is accounted for righteousness to us. The Lord our righteousness. Cross reference right there. 7-8. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. This is a prophecy that is yet future, the Lord's coming and his name in the kingdom age, the king of David reigning, his name being the Lord our righteousness. Throughout the history of the Old Testament, the people is talking about God who drew us out of Egypt. Verse 9-40. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. Jeremiah's heart was broken because of the false prophets. Jeremiah's saying is about God's judgments against their backsliding from God. Likely he said, you are going to fall and take away to Babylon. While they said, we are going to drive Babylonians out of the land. We are going to dwell safely here, and you are going to prosper here. Here are four types of false prophets in verses right there. Verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers, for because of a curse the land mourns. The pleasant places of wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil. Their might is not right. Full of adulterers is in a spiritual sense. They were worshipping other gods. While you are with him, the Lord is with you. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So the Lord forsook them. Cursed land, dried up places, evil life. 11. For both the prophet, priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Both the prophet, priest are wicked, not listening to the Lord, turning back to him. In his temple was wicked. Therefore their ways shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, even the year of their visitation, said the Lord. Slippery ways is pretty tough, working in darkness. God's punishment and the visitation of God's judgment against them for their turning from the Lord. even if they saw what happened in the northern kingdom Israel because of a false prophet, the prophets of Baal or supposed adultery, they also were corrupted, wicked, and filled with adultery, because there should have been sufficient warning to them. Verse 13, and have sinned fully in the prophet of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal, cursed my people Israel to Yahweh. The prophet prophesied by Baal, not the words of God. Pastor cited a few of the scripture to teach mostly human thoughts. That is spiritual whoredom. God doesn't want it to be even equal to another. Hosea, Matthew, by the cross-reference, 14. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophet of Jerusalem. They committed adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthened the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitant like Gomorrah. They are evildoers, even as Sodom Gomorrah was to be judged, and was judged by God. So they are to be judged. Verse 15, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophet, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophet of Jerusalem profaneness has gone out into all the land, because the false prophet profaned from Jerusalem into all the land. They will be judged by God with wormwood and the water of gall. Verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision or an imagination over their own heart, not from mouth of the Lord. They are not really giving you my word. They are speaking out of their own heart. It is not God's word. The words of prophets are an imagination or a vision of their own heart, not the word of God. Human imagination or vision can't dominate the words of God, but may be temporarily used only to explain His words, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Verse 17, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have a peace. And to everyone who walks according to dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. The false prophets continually spoke words of prosperity, comfort to those who despise God, to have a peace and to work as they please without any coming evil. They were prophesying lies. Verse 18, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and has perceived and heard His word, who has marked His word and heard it? They have not heard the counsel of the Lord. Nobody among the false prophets had heard His word, except Jeremiah, true prophet. 19, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until He has exacted and performed the thought of His wrath. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. Question to you, verse 20. In the latter days the people would understand it perfectly, or the people would perceive the truth of the prophecy when Jeremiah fell. About the prophecy, when we are coming to latter days or into fulfillment of the prophecy, we are beginning to understand more perfectly the word of a prophecy. In the last day, knowledge increased while people run to fro like today. Every prophecy is being fulfilled, pieces into the prose. Now is only few pieces left for the full picture. I have not sent this prophet, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. If they had listened to me, they would not have exhorted the people that the things were going to find. They would have warned the people of the evil that is coming. 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my voice, then they would have turned them from their evil way. God wanted them to stand in his counsel and to hear his word and turn from their evil way. 23-24. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? 24. Can any man hide himself in secret places? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? A God is not near at hand, but afar off. Is there a false concept? Because our God is omnipresent. Wherever you go, God is there. I am surrounded by God. I can't escape. He is the God who fills the heaven and the earth. So we need to be conscious of God's omnipresence, like David, cross-reference there, 25-27. I have heard what prophets have said who prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of a prophet who prophesied lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. They prophesy lies in my name. This is the tragic thing. When they get into it, they actually deceive their own heart. They try to make his people forget his name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their father forgot his name because of Baal. The dreams of thoughts from their heart resulted in people forgetting his name. What's it for? Peddling the words of God. 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the trap to the wit, says the Lord? People get all excited with the dreams and visions of Jeremiah's prophecy and of the word of God. They thought the dreams rather than the word of God. The chaff is not nourishable, but the wheat is nourishable. The chaff is existent to protect the wheat, not to be eaten by worms or fungi. The spiritual experiences may be temporarily used to explain his word like a Paul, because nobody should think above that literal experience. The just shall live by faith. The faith comes from hearing by the word of God. So true spiritual growth comes through on the word of God. The cross reference right there, verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? God's word is like a fire. God is devouring, destroying, or consuming opponents or sins. Verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who steal my words, everyone from his neighbor, who steal my words. They use God's words for their own profit or purpose, not for God's good purpose. Verse 31-32, behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he said, Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause the people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore they shall not profit the people at all, says the Lord. God is against the false prophets to cause his people to err. They did not profit his people at all, but they got profits by themselves. 33 up to 38. So when these people, what the prophet of priests, they ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall then say to them, what oracle? I'll even forsake you, says the Lord. The oracle of the Lord, the oracle is the utterance or the burden. Verse 33, the question of false prophets about the oracle of the law to Jeremiah was that God will even forsake them. Question, verse 34, 35. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say, the oracle of the Lord, I will even furnish that man and his house. Does every one of you shall say to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what is the Lord's answer and what is the Lord spoken? The false prophet said the oracle of the Lord to people, giving the burden upon them to expedite their fleshly work for the prophet's purpose, not God's purpose. They were burned out in the end. Then verse 36, question 3. And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more, for every man's word will be his oracle. For you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. The oracle of the Lord in the first meaning, the utterance of the Lord. The Lord does not like you say stuff that he does not say, and then giving him credit for it. If it is written in the Bible, then you can say that, the Lord said, that's good. You are on good ground. But we have to be careful of that in the context, syntax of the word of the living God. Otherwise, it is perverted. Satan used his word for his prophet in the temptation of Jesus rather than the context in Psalm 91 to protect his people from dangers. In the second meaning, it is the burden of the Lord. When you have taken on something that the Lord did not put on you, your burden is heavy because you have to work by flesh, not by the Spirit. But doing the will and the work of the Lord is glorious and joyful because God gives you strength and the ability to do it. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. False prophets drove you to work out the power, the energy of your flesh to their profitable purpose. You would be personally burned out in the end. That's the cross reference right there, 37 up to 40. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you, said, and what has the Lord spoken? But since you say, the oracle of the Lord, therefore thus says the Lord, because you say this way, the oracle of the Lord, and I have sent to you, saying, do not say the oracle of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you and forsake you, and the city that I gave you, your forefathers, and will cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Now Jeremiah answered to the false prophets, according to God's instruction, don't say the oracle of the Lord. God will utterly forget you, forsake you, bringing an everlasting reproach, perpetual shame upon you. What a higher standard to the word minister. Let not many of you become teachers or masters, because we may easily stumble in the word. The 40 is learned that nobody is allowed to alter his words. So we covered all those questions. Let me continue to keep on prayer. Iranian mission, also European people to know the word of God more and more. We talked about a lot of, you know, mission area prayer. So also is donation, offering, gift, you know, the basic philosophy. So recently we published the book, Living Epistle with AI. So it's available at ebook.church ebook. So also paperback, amazon.com. If you need a free book, so let me know. So I will give you a free paperback to you. First come, first served. Okay, God bless you, everyone. Let's just sing all together Maranatha song.